Gardening with Gavin from Lee Rowan's Garden World.
It's that time of the week where we talk to Gavin and from Lee Rowan's Garden World. Good afternoon, Gavin. I trust you're well this afternoon.
It is. Hello. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you, mate. Today we're talking about what to do leading up to Christmas in the garden. And, well, I was promoting the fact that you're on your way and we're going to be talking to you this afternoon and what we're going to be talking about. I said about the lack of precipitation. We've been promised a lot of rain, but we haven't received a lot of rain in recent times. So I suppose part of what you have to do leading up to Christmas is plan. What do you do with your garden if you don't get that rain from above?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. They keep saying, you know, they put up these little icons, these little rain icons on every day. But yeah, so far, we've hardly had a drop. And I don't take any notice of that at all till I'm outside and I get wet.
Yes, you and me both.
Basically, yeah. And then the hard thing is the ground gets so dry that even that bit of rain that does hit it only ever just touches the top, doesn't necessarily soak that far in. Or what's worse is the ground gets a bit on the really dry side, gets what's known as hydrophobic, where the water just, like on the beach, when you drop water on the sand, just literally runs to the side and doesn't even sink in at all.
That's
one thing you really have to watch through the summer months.
We see that a lot in the Hunter, because of the lack of rain and the really dry weather, the sun just bakes the clay in particular.
That's right. Now, there are products on the market that will help do that. You know, for example, I wanted to talk about products like Penetrade. Now, Penetrade, and there's also Wetter Soil, are more of like a granular. They actually look a little bit like sawdust in a container. Some are in bags, some are in boxes. And you sprinkle that over the ground, and that encourages the ground to suck that water in instead of it running off. You can actually test it. It works exceptionally well. When you can sprinkle it over the top of your indoor plants, those indoor plants that happen to again, the water, you water the top and it runs down the side of the pot. It works beautifully for that. It works beautifully for the garden. It makes the ground act like a big sponge, and any rain that you do get, especially when it falls as a storm, I find storms are quite an unusual thing, because you tend to get a lot of rain all at once, but the bulk of it tends to run off to the side and you really don't get a lot of use out of it. It's more the sort of like slower rain that you tend to find sink in. So storms are a good thing, but then you have to make the most of the water that comes out of it. And these things like this Penetrade or Wetter Soil are designed to make the most of that rain. It might only last for 15, 20 minutes, but the bulk of it just runs into the gutter. So that will help with that. There's even one now for lawns, and the biggest problem I'm finding now is that people are coming into the nursery and they're starting to get these big dry patches on the lawn, or what's worse is actually big dead patches. Now, there doesn't tend to be a lot of insects. You know, one would immediately think of things like lawn grubs and lawn beetles and things like that. But of course, you don't get those in very dry times, because the little moths that lay these things are sensible enough to know that they're only going to lay their eggs in very moist lawn. So when lawns get a little bit on the dry side, that's the one time that you don't get these. So the main reason for all this at the moment, all these dry patches, is literally that. It's where the rain has hit, and if we've had a storm, it's either run to the side around the outside, or it's literally run off altogether.
Yeah.
And that's why you tend to have these dry patches. It's also because, as you mentioned earlier, when you do get many, many hot baking days, that soil tends to bake together. And that's another reason why you get these big bare patches, or just big dry patches where the lawn tends to change colour. And you can see it straight away. It's like, oh, that whole section there looks like it's just a big dry patch. Well, they have a product called Lawn Soaker. Now, Lawn Soaker soaker literally comes on the end of a hose. You buy it as a container. It does 150 square metres to a bottle. The bottle will last for 6 months. And it, again, just like the products, the granular powdery products for the garden, it will also encourage that lawn to suck that water in rather than let it run off the top. So there are products out there that can help you with all this. Now, the secret with watering these things is, of course, good, long, drenching waterings rather than at the end of the day, you know, you get home from work, and I so see many people do it. You go out there, it's cool, you get the hose and you wet everything down thinking you're doing a fabulous job, lasts about a half an hour, and then you go inside. But that's not the answer. The answer is keep the water off the foliage, water only the ground in the garden around the base, because I've mentioned many times the wet bathroom effect, where people tend to go out of a night, wet all the foliage down of a hot day, and then wonder why it all gets fungus and mould and black spots and all sorts of things the next morning. It's because the foliage has sat wet all night till the sun hits it the next morning. There's very little wind usually of a night, because as soon as the sun goes down, the wind tends to stop. And those leaves stay wet till the sun hits it the next morning, and then of course you get that wet bathroom effect, and within 3 or 4 days of doing that, you've got little spots and mould and all sorts of things popping up on everything. So let's avoid wetting the foliage after dark. Let's just concentrate on the ground, and instead of a 5-minute wash over the top, give them a good soak on the ground, a good thorough soaking. Now, the lawn, maybe twice a week. It's a hard one to say exactly how much, because it depends on whether you get wind with that hot weather. Now, if you get wind, you might be out there every second day giving it a good hose, or maybe every third day, because wind tends to dry things out far quicker than what the sun ever will.
I was just thinking, are you best to give your grass a long soak less often rather than a 20-minute soak or a 20-minute yes. water every second day, yes. for example?
Fabulous idea. Yeah, even if you did the lawn once a week, but put the soaker hose on it. I love soaker hoses. Put the soaker hose on it for an hour or two once a week rather than 10 or 15 minutes every second day, because what you want to do is encourage those roots to dive down into the ground and not just sit on the top slurping up every little bit of water they can get their hands on, because that's exactly what will happen. Trees do a similar thing. In very dry times, the roots tend to come up near the surface. You'll often find people mowing, and they'll mow these little knoblets of roots coming up near the surface. That's how you know that tree's exceptionally dry, because instead of the roots going nice and deep to where the moisture is, the roots turn around and come up near the surface, because the only bit of the ground that's ever getting wet is maybe that 25 mil or inch at the top when you get a quick watering over the top of it. So the tree then turns its roots to where they think they're going to get that little bit of water. And that happens quite regularly in very dry summers. So we want to turn that around. We want to get the roots nice and deep, just like on gardens. So good, really thorough soakings, not concentrating on the foliage. We don't need to wet the foliage down after a hot day. We need to wet the roots down and get the roots cool, and they will suck up the moisture, and then all of a sudden the top just goes back to normal.
Is there any truth in the comment that you treat your lawn like I suppose you might treat your children? You don't spoil them, and that way, if you get a couple of hot days day after day, that it'll still survive, rather than if you're watering and giving it water all the time, you know, every day, so to speak, you're spoiling the lawn like you would spoil the child.
Absolutely, yes, yes, yes. It happens a lot when people go on holidays, and of course, people tend to go on holidays in school holidays, which at this time of year is in the hottest, driest part of the year, being January. So the person that loves to go out and have this beautiful, lovely green lawn that does exactly what you said, goes out every day or every second day, looks after it, wets it all down, what happens when they go on holidays for a week or 10 days? You know, the whole thing goes backwards because it's been so spoiled and so used to getting soaked all the time that all of a sudden it doesn't get it. It basically, you know, kicks the nooners and says, well, I've had enough of this. I'm not sticking around anymore.
So you've got to be real careful. Yeah.
Yes, definitely a good soak once a week. And then, if you're lucky enough to have somebody come over and do it for you, that's all well and good. But if you don't and you only deep soak your lawn once a week, if you go an entire week and you're not home, it's really not going to miss anything at all.
Yeah, true.
You just give it a good soak before you leave.
What about mulching for the gardens as well?
Oh, fabulous idea. Now, mulching, you're looking at least 75 mil, or for those my age, 3 inches, is your standard depth for a good mulch. And it doesn't really matter what type of mulch it is, whether you use one of the pine barks, the wood chips, whatever it might be. It could be sugarcane mulch in a bag. Try and get that 3 inches or 75 mil because that's when it's going to do the most good. You'd be surprised at how many people just enough to cover the soil.
Mm.
And it doesn't really do that much. It might look nice, and I suppose if you're putting your house up for sale, all you really want is a quick sale, so you would just cover the ground. But if you want to do some real good and let that mulch actually work, then you want it that sort of depth. And if it is a very dry area, well, let's say, for example, you might have a big tree in the middle of the garden that would be soaking up all the excess water, use something like one of those products, your Penetrate or your Saturate, put that on the ground first and then put the mulch over the top of that. That's when it will do the most good of all, because on top of the mulch holding the moisture underneath on the ground, you've got your Penetrate and or your Saturate there to stop it from running to the side. Makes an enormous difference, especially if you've got a busy lifestyle or you're going away, as I said, over Christmas and New Year, and you need all that stuff to work together so that you don't come home to a half-dead lawn or garden, for that matter.
What about pots? If you've got pots that are, for example, if they're in a courtyard and they might cop the afternoon sun or the morning sun, is there any point in mulching the pots or not?
Oh, definitely. Treat the pots the same as the garden. So, as I've said, use one of those products, sprinkle it over the top so that all that soil in the pot doesn't allow it to run down the side, which often happens when it gets very hot. The soil all contracts to the centre. You water it. The water runs over the side or down the side between the pot and the soil, and you don't get really a lot of benefit. So use one of those products so that doesn't happen, and then mulch the top of the pots just like you would for the garden. Now, very important when you do that, though, to make sure you don't have the mulch up against the base of any plant. The one thing plants hate more than anything is something up against their trunk. You get what's known as collar rot, is where the trunk rots close to the ground, where somebody's maybe built up their mulch against the base of the tree. Add a bit of humid weather, a few storms overnight, as I said, you'll get that wet bathroom effect. The base of that plant, whether it be a plant in a pot or whether it be a tree in the ground, will always tend to rot around the base. Now, where that happens, of course, weakens the plant, because when you've got that sort of rot at the base, it makes it very... Oh, what would the soft, maybe a little bit sticky, gooey, and that, of course, is where all your diseases come in, and that's when your tree, in the case of a tree in the garden, you may get another big storm, and the storm will basically push it over because it has got soft down near the base. So whenever you're doing that with any mulch, make sure you do that little dish at the base of the plant so that mulch isn't right up against the trunk itself.
All right. Well, there's a couple of things that'll keep people busy leading up to Christmas, what they need to do in their gardens and certainly in their pot plants. I've got a couple of questions here, one in particular
Absolutely.
From a listener, but I suppose in many ways we probably needed more information. The question is, why do the leaves of my plants keep turning brown? I suppose you'd probably want to know what type of plants.
Well, it does make a big difference, but 90% of the time it is due to water. Excuse me. That will either mean that either A, if it happens to be a pot plant, they may have it in a saucer of water, which plants absolutely hate. They may keep the soil too wet all the time, which we've discussed about the person that waters their plant every day and keeps them too wet, as opposed to letting them dry out between waterings. Or it's just simply a case that it is actually dry and that soil has got so dry that either when they water it, the water runs over the edge, like we've discussed, or it just so compact around the base that the water just doesn't sink in anymore.
If you've got some big pots, like really large pots, and you've got some plants in those large pots on, let's say, a veranda or a balcony or something like that, what damage, and you've got those pots, but they're big pots, you've got them in trays, right, because you don't want to mark your veranda or something, and they are full of water, does that do damage to the plants in those large pots or not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You should never let pots sitting in nature, they're never sitting in puddles of water. It does enormous damage. If you're ever going to do that and you really, really, you have this lovely balcony, lovely tiles, and you don't want them to get wet, you don't want the water running over the edge, by all means, have a big saucer underneath, but put some little pot feet, or as I tell people, use those hideous little Lego blocks that you walk on and jump on, put those underneath the pots and lift the pots up out of the water. So by all means, have that saucer there, stop that mess, but don't actually sit the pot into the saucer. Sit it so that it's just above the saucer, so the saucer can catch all that extra, but it doesn't actually suck it up. I mean, no plant wants dirty, scungy water that's been sitting in a saucer for a week. That's one thing that will certainly send them off.
All right, Gavin, thank you for that. I should say that if people listening to us this afternoon have any questions for Gavin, they can send them to us via email and we'll put them to Gavin when we have our chat each and every Wednesday. Thanks, mate.
It's love to.
It's time for the plug.
All right. Well, where I am today is our lovely store on the Central Coast, which is at 72 Pacific Highway, Arimba. And we also have our head office, 381 Hillsborough Road at Warners Bay, at the bottom end of Hillsborough Road.
And you're there on Saturday?
Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, I get sent down here to Arimba out of the blue.
All right, mate. It's always good to talk to you. Thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next Wednesday.